I want to also greet you in the name of Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we come to worship this morning.
I turn on the microphone. There we go. As we come to worship this morning to praise God and being together on this beautiful day that God has given us. So let us pray together. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ walk with us. May we truly worship. Worship by its nature, O Lord, is an encountering of ourselves with you. So let us encounter you this morning. Let us meet you for the first time or for times beyond what we can count. Let us be with you. Let us share this moment with you, because you've invited us to be with you in it. May we find a place in your love that we have never found before. And truly let us worship. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand and join with us as we sing All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, the first three verses and verse 6. Words should be on the screen.
Page 882 in your United Methodist hymnal or on the screen, the Apostles' Creed, Ecumenical Version. I want to say a word about this just because I want to. Let's just say that we have this as our Ecumenical Version. This is actually the original Apostles' Creed, friends. We replaced it with what we now call the Traditional Version, which is 881 that you're used to. But this was actually the older one that come from a time frame about 150 years before the one we normally read, and we just decided that the other one was traditional. I just want to let you know the time frame of this, just a little history, since I love history. The Apostles' Creed, let us unite this historic confession of the Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Please be seated. Are there any joys and concerns that you would loudly share with me so I can hear them this morning? Anybody at all? We have for Larry as he gets better. And Mary, yes, yes, ma'am. Okay. And what'd you say about Mary? She's positive now. Yeah, that was going to happen. But we hope she gets better. Anybody else? So I'm going to ask y'all to do something for me. We still, as you ask prayer requests, we pass around an offering plate. I don't know if y'all know that or not. And we take money up in it. But if you would, and I don't know if we have any ability to do that at this point in the pews. I frankly haven't searched our pews for this. But if you have the ability to write that prayer request down and put it in the offering plate so I can have it, I would really love for you to do that. That means I can pray for these people as the week goes on, and not just this morning. So if you would help me with that, that would be great. Some people say the offering plate's only good for offering. Well, my way of saying it is when we offer somebody in prayer, we're creating an offering well beyond just money given an offering plate. Yes, ma'am? For Chris. For Chris, yes. Keeps doing better, yep. Amen. The altar is open if you want to pray with us. Feel free to come and pray with us. There'll be a silent prayer and then the pastoral prayer and the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray together. Then crown him Lord of all. Part of crowning God and to giving God all that we are so that we see that God is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is trusting God in our prayers. giving people over to God in the fullness of health and strength that they can gain that in this life and if need be in the next. To understand what it means to let God be the King of our lives, the Lord of our being, is to turn ourselves over in a way that changes who we are, how we perceive ourselves, and how God gives us health and strength in time of need. For those having surgery, for those who are better at this time, for those facing hospitalization or in the hospital that allow them to grow stronger and to be healthy and to find a place in our lives that is beyond, in their lives that is beyond what they may expect to achieve or find. To know that they feel, as we pray the Holy Spirit upon them, interceding for them as we intercede in this very moment, and to know that healing is given through God. To hear that and to know that is to change our perspective, change our direction, and to be found in a way that only God can find us, in a faith that we can only get from God. God knows our faults. God knows where we fail daily. God knows our sins. And God still loves us in the midst of all of that. The Son has still been sent for us. The Holy Spirit is present in the room. Also, in every place that we are mentioning verbally and all those prayer requests that we mention to ourselves but don't verbalize, God knows and hears, heals. So bless, O Lord, that giving of faith that is upon us. And in doing this, we will trust God and we will pray to God the way Jesus taught his apostles to pray when he said to them, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." We'd ask our ushers to come forth this time, please. Morning, gentlemen. Let us pray together. Now, in the gift of this day, let us accept the greatest gift, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given freely so that we can give freely of ourselves. Amen. Thank you.
Stay close. Okay. When it's time, it's not time yet.
The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, beginning with verse 36. Once you have found that scripture, please stand for the reading of God's holy word. Matthew 22, beginning with verse 36. You have heard this scripture before, but we're going to delve much deeper into it. Teacher, which commandment is the law is greatest? He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Turn the page. Maybe. This is the greatest and the first commandment. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Page wouldn't turn. Let's pray together. All your heart, soul, mind, all that you are, this is the first commandment. May God's blessings be upon us and let us hear the word of God in our soul and let us be changed. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So in 1742, how many of y'all were alive then? Okay, just asking. In 1742, John Wesley wrote The Five Marks of a Methodist. All right, that's in 1742. At that time, there was actually not a Methodist church as you know it. They were struggling to decide whether they would be bishops. They had started a new church that would become the Methodist Episcopal Church. They had working through with the German people that would form a church that would eventually become known as the United Brethren Church. All those things were happening then, and Wesley was in the midst of creating or doing a sinful thing that was beyond any thought of what could happen at the time of doing it. And I want you to catch this because this is really something for his time frame, even though it's something we wouldn't think is wrong. At the time of Wesley preaching out on the stumps and witnessing to people, he began to invite people to know Christ as their Savior outside of the four walls of the church. Now, at the time of him doing that, it was a sin to receive Christ outside of the walls of the church. If you did that outside of the church or not during a worship service, you truly was not saved because you had to be blessed by the priest to be fully saved. And Wesley said, no, no, you can be saved anywhere, at any time, at any place. And because of that, they removed him from the church he was pastoring and tried to take away all the authority he had as a priest, to try to excommunicate him from the church because he believed you could be saved anywhere. Now, in doing that, he wrote The Five Marks of a Methodist as that Methodist church was evolving at that time. Now, to understand that is to understand what I'm attempting to do from Sunday 1 all the way through last Sunday as we went through means of grace and we went through prevenient justification and sanctification. And we return to this scripture from which we began several weeks ago and delve into it deeper because there is an understanding of love that I think we miss. And Wesley tries to say this. Now, I promise you my sermon on this will not last as long as Wesley's did. Okay, his was 3 hours and 42 minutes long on a stump, read off manuscript, and language that would be difficult for us to understand in a monotone voice. That's how it was given, and it was seen as one of the greatest sermons ever given. So either I need to preach 3 hours and 42 minutes, amen, Gracie's against it, or we need to get this in encapsulation of what we're trying to accomplish. So let's look at this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body. There is a term there that is used throughout scriptures called love that means different things to different people at different times. And there's the seven understandings of love, which we won't walk through this morning. But we look at those seven, and they go everywhere from sexual love to love and caring for people without asking for anything back. And it spans the gamut between everything that's involved in that. So if you look at those seven understandings of love, you see that. But we're talking about a love that's beyond that thought process, closer to loving people without expecting anything back than anything, but it delves into a way of seeing people. Now, I want to work at it from several perspectives, and I want you to kind of stay with me as we go through this, and let's work through this. The first one I want you to remember, Jesus praying to God, and he refers to God as Abba Father or Daddy. In my relationship with my father, who has been gone now much longer than I'd like to think, he passed away in 1992. Can you imagine that? That was a day or two ago, wasn't it? And so he passes there. He's in his 70s when he dies. He had me very late in life. And so he passes there. And so when he dies, he's been gone for that time. But my relationship with my dad went from a relationship where it was yes, sir, no, sir. Not at that time out of respect, but out of expectation that I would act that way. And then when he would say to do something, I just did it because it was expected, to a place of saying, yes, sir, no, sir, I love you, Dad. And it was done out of love, not an expectation or demand. The relationship shifted to one of respect and love, not demanding love. Y'all have had those relationships, right? You should have had relationships in your marriage, in your life with your children, in your life with your families, in which love existed and changed in different stages of your life. As I've said to people on many occasions, I have never been called to be my children's best friend. I have been called to be their parent. Now, I hope it changes to best friend as time moves on, but I'm called to be parent, which means you make decisions that are different as time goes on in life because relationship changes. Well, Jesus, at the point of his prayer, is speaking about Abba, Father. There's this father-son, daddy-son relationship that we see in its nature growing and changing as he moves towards the cross and towards a time of death and resurrection. We see that relationship change again in the Garden of Gethsemane when he's on his knees praying and sweat becomes like great drops of blood. And he is attempting to work through the moment physically, remember, fully human, fully divine, work through it physically of what he's about to go through, even to the point that he says, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me. And in the prayer he says, but not my will, but thine be done. And he goes to the cross and dies for us. That relationship has changed there also. There is a changing of relationship if, that big word if, you're changing and growing in your understanding and knowledge of God in relationship. If it's not changing, you're not growing. If it's not changing, we're not growing. We're staying the same. And nobody can stay the same in their faith in God. You either grow in it or you lose it. You give it away. There is a growth that must take place. So that's one change of intimacy that happens with our relationship with God. But let's look at some others. One of my favorite scriptures, and those in Wednesday night Bible study have already figured this out, is the relationship that Zechariah had when he went into the temple to do his service for God. And while he's in there, Gabriel shows up and says to him, your wife is going to have a child. Now, you got to love his response to the angel, to Gabriel, when he says to him, and if you go back and read, he says to him, but my wife's old. That can't happen. Now, they heard me do this in class, the ones in that Wednesday night, so they just had to hold a secret for a second. And I looked at it, and you listen to Gabriel's response. Now, one of the most exciting responses in all of Scripture comes here, and if you don't read it with a sense of relationship, you miss it. You go back and read it in whatever version you have. Gabriel responds to Zechariah by saying to him, "I stand in the presence of God, Zechariah." Now, here's how a Southern boy would translate that. Now, I'm a Southern boy. I'm as Southern as it gets, okay? You know, you may be as Southern as me, but you're not more Southern than me because I'm as Southern as it gets. You can't grow up in North Georgia, North Alabama, and not be Southern, okay? So here's how a Southern boy would translate this. If I'm sitting there and I'm Gabriel, I get to be Gabriel for a minute. Remember, Gabriel said, "I stand in the presence of God." Gabriel's looking at Zechariah and says, "Listen, son, every day I stand in the presence of God, and you're trying to tell me that a God who created all things, a God that made the world, that changed the world, that gives a son for everlasting life that's going to happen, that he cannot simply create a child and a woman who's past age of created. Have you lost your mind, Zechariah? God can do anything." He says that later by saying, "All things are possible with God." Scriptures put these things nicely, but you don't know, none of us know, just how all that goes down. We get this intimate, close version of this. Can you imagine the look of the angel Gabriel and the look of Zechariah in the conversation? You've had these conversations with people. You've had them where the look is way more important than the words. You've had this moment, and they're in this moment that's very intimate and very close, and because Zechariah doesn't believe, he tells him he will not speak until the baby is born for those 9 months. Can you imagine taking the voice away from a preacher? Have you ever thought of that? Can you imagine me not being taught for 9 months? I would explode. It would be awful. You'd have to carry me around in a bag. Not being taught for 9 months plus, because they didn't get pregnant at the temple. At least I hope not. They got pregnant at the house. Think of the issues of this. Think of the relationship between Gabriel and Zechariah and then Gabriel and God as those months go on. You've got to watch the human interaction with the angel. And then move it a little farther. I'm going to miss Mary for a second. Go to Joseph. Gabriel's hanging out with Joseph now in a dream. And Joseph, being a just man, a righteous man, is not going to do what he has the right to do, which is have his wife stoned for getting pregnant out of wedlock. He's going to put her away privately. Wasn't that nice of him? That's how he's going to do it. And Gabriel comes to him and says, This baby's from God. Look at the interaction and the personal interaction of loving God enough to trust that a baby is being born without human interaction. A baby, an angel, and the Holy Spirit coming to cause conception. And then look at Mary. Wonderful text. Now go read these. These are fabulous texts. Go read this and watch it as Mary interacts with the angel Gabriel. And Gabriel says to her, "You're going to conceive a child." And Mary says, "I don't think that's going to happen. I haven't been with a man yet." Watch how it unfolds. "It ain't going to happen this way, Gabriel." And Gabriel says, "Again, nothing's impossible with God. You're going to receive this child through the Holy Spirit." So there's a word here on all three of these interactions with Gabriel and then God that I don't think we think of using in Christianity. In the words, it's intimate relationship with God. So you can't just have a peripheral relationship with God and grow in the Spirit. You've got to have an intimate, life-changing relationship with God, and you've got to take aside... Choir, you with me? You got to take aside all your faults and failures. "Well, I'm this, I'm that. She's too old. I'm a virgin. She shouldn't have been having sex outside of the marriage." You got to take away all those things and put them aside and let God change them, and you have that relationship with God beyond just somebody you knew at salvation. Salvation is a glorious thing. It's birth. It's not the end of life. You got to be saved to grow. You got to be born to become an adult. But the goal of this is to have that relationship that changes. What's the scripture? You love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and depending on which version you read of the two scriptures, and body. What's left out of the relationship? See, this is not about service. There's other scriptures for that. This is about relationship with God. One of the marks of a Methodist is to have this relationship with God that's foundational and moving and growing, that changes us by the very act of the relationship. This is before we feed the hungry, before we clothe the naked. This is before we go out into the world and change the world by our actions. This is how we get changed in relationship. See, I mentioned my father. Life so much changed between he and I as he aged and I aged. He was the strong one, I was the weak. He got sick. And for 10 years, I watched him die. For 10 years, I watched him not be able to walk across the living room floor from one chair to the next without having to stop and break, take a break for 30 minutes before he could go to the next chair in the kitchen. And the next chair in the kitchen after that, and then walked the 15 steps down the hallway to his bedroom or bathroom. I watched it all change over the years, and I became the one that was strong, and he was the one that needed help. And yet, in a relationship with another human, my father, in a relationship that changes and grows, you don't see that person as weaker. You see that person as needing more love and care from the one that was loved and cared for in diapers before we knew how to care for ourselves. Relationships grow and change just like they do with God. And if we don't let them grow, then we lose the ability to walk that close to God and to be in that intimate relationship with God. I went Friday to a funeral in Chattanooga. Man's name was Ed Kemper. Some of the folks of that dear church watch my sermons every Sunday. And so we went down to Ed's funeral. I was not participating, but he was one of those people that you go to their funeral because they are who they are. You don't have to be part of a service. You go because they are the person they are. Y'all, all I pray had people in your lives like that. I remember this day, Ed was one of those men's men. You know what I'm talking about. One of those guys that just, you know, he's a man and you know he's a man and he's strong and he's devout and he loves God. But he's, you know, he was an electrician. They told a story at his service that he was one of those guys that they would ask if the power was on or not. And he would take his finger and lick it and go, yep, it's on, as the sparks flew. I mean, he was that guy. I mean, he was the one that understood this stuff. And he said, you might want to turn the switch off now for one of y'all get killed. And he was just one of these men. Well, at Jones Memorial and I met this church, the church that he was at in East Ridge, Tennessee. They have a barbecue every year. They've had it now, I guess, Mama, for 50 years plus. I mean, it's been a long time. And we were there and got to help cook the barbecue and do all the things. It's a whole week's process to get the barbecue ready. And they'll raise, back in those days, when we were there, it's been a long time now, it's just, they count our time being gone by Gracie's age. She was born as we were leaving that church, so she was 5 months old when we left. And so they'll say, well, Gracie's 12 now, so you've been gone 12 years. That's how they do this. And so, but they raise this barbecue, have this barbecue, and they raise, at least back in those days, between $18,000 and $22,000 a year, and they clear about $10,000. Okay, well, I'm not talking a little barbecue. They're not having three sandwiches and a little coleslaw. I mean, they work. I mean, Mary Lynn used to get together and make the coleslaw and the beans, and they took 2 or 3 days making coleslaw and beans and everything prepped, ready to give it out. And they serve from like 10 in the morning to 6 at night, or till they run out. And they almost always run out. Well, Here's what they did with the coats, with the money. They bought coats for children for the elementary and middle school of Eastridge schools. So every child had a coat in their elementary and middle schools. Well, every pastor that really wants to participate gets to go with Ed because he delivers the coats. Now, here's how relationships move. He goes from this man's man, this electrician, this all these things, and stuff, always a gentle giant, but one of these fabulous people. But he would deliver the coats, and when he would hand them to the principal or the person in charge, Ed would begin to cry as he was handing them to them. And he would bawl because he was handing out coats for children he didn't know, for people he had never seen. And you go there as a pastor and you're introduced to this guy, and you get there in July 1 like we do now, and then in September you're handing out coats after doing a barbecue. And you watch him cry like a baby because he's given out thousands of coats to children who will have coats for the winter. And you watch a relationship grow with a person, and when they pass, you have loved them so much, but more importantly, they have loved you so much that no matter what you're doing on that day, guess what you go to? You go to that man's funeral. And when I got there, all but one of the pastors who are still living came to the funeral to be with that family. Why? Because there was a loving relationship between him and God and between him and the pastor and the family that spoke to an intimate relationship between two men who love God in a way that only God can allow you to love. Friends, each of you should be growing into that relationship with God and with others. Each of us should be changed in that relationship because that's what it means to take your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body, your entire being, and throw it into relationship with God. Think of it one more way. In Genesis, you have two creation stories and one in chapters 1 and 2 of the same creation, looked at different ways. The reality is chapter 1 bleeds into chapter 2 by about 3 verses, but then you go on, you have the two stories. In the stories, as you see them come forward to you, in that scripture reading as they come forward to you, there's a moment. Man and woman have been created. They are simply clay, dust. God comes, and God breathes into them the breath of life, known as the ruach in the Hebrew language. The breath of life enters you, and you become an animated person. Adam and Eve became animated people, given life from God, so that inside of each of us now, who are upon the face of this earth from beginning to the end of time, we are given the breath life, the soul, as you think of it. Our soul is given animation by the breath of God, and you have this intimate personal relationship with the very breath of God that gives you life. It's from God, friends. That's how you breathe, live, do what you do. You get it from God. Now, whether you want to admit there's a God or not, whether you think no God's ever been or not, however you want to do it, that's fine. That's your choice. But you can't escape the fact that you are, because God caused you to be. The breath of life. That's how close, that's how intimate relationship you should be growing with God, so that each day there's a growth of a relationship. So we put all this together and we ask the question, do we truly believe that God and I, God and you, have grown that close in relationship? It's got to be more today than it was yesterday, or you're not growing. Because you're doing one of two things. You're either growing or you're dying. There is no hanging out in the same place. People do this. Churches do this. Denominations do this. People in every place do this. Businesses do this. Church businesses are growing or they're dying. That's the way it works. And so in the midst of that, we have to find out, are we spiritually growing into the oneness with God or are we dying? Marks of a Methodist says we love God. But we don't just love God. We love God with every ounce and fiber of our being. Out of that will come the love for each other in the church. But it has to come from God, or we don't have it. So do I have that love? Is it who you are? Is it your being? Or is it not? There's only one person who can answer that question. Is you, and the other one that knows is God, and nobody else knows. I challenge you, with every ounce of my being, to have that relationship. And my friends, you should challenge me to have the same. Because without it, we don't grow together. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The altar is open for prayer. It is there in front of us. Let us hear God speaking to us today.
Please stand and join with us in singing "More Love for Thee, O Christ." Please stand.
Before we leave, did Bailey come back in, or her and Grace had just run? They wandered off. It's not surprising. Took the candles out and they left. On the 18th of September, someplace, we're going to have a baptismal. So come here, Bailey. Bailey, can she hear me? Come here, Bailey. Gracie, send Bailey down here. Send Bailey down here. Yeah, you're not Bailey. I stay in trouble. Here we go. Come here, Bailey. It'll be okay. You're going to be fine. You don't even have to speak. Just got to stand in front of me and smile. Okay? You can do this. Come up here. No, come here. Bailey, come here. You're worse than giving Gracie directions. Daily accepted Christ as her Lord and Savior. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, most of y'all know that. You've been told that, right? Okay. We're having her baptism on September 18th. She wants to be immersed, and unless y'all got a baptismal pool in this church somewhere that I don't know about, we won't be able to do it here. I think I know where we're going, but I have not spoke to the pastor yet. I have a meeting with him on Tuesday. Tentatively, we're going to be, and y'all never heard of this more than likely, tentatively we're going to be at the Bikers Church having baptism. Do y'all know that the Bikers Church is exactly one block from your church going out North Kingston? It's right back there. And so they have baptismal pool and everything. So we're going to tentatively go there, but we're not positive yet. So we'll find out, and that's okay with you to go there, right? All right, so you don't have to answer it. Just shake your head. You're smiling. So she doesn't like to talk in public. So it would be okay for her to be 9 months waiting on the baby to be born, but I couldn't do it. And so I just wanted y'all to know that. And I didn't want to embarrass her, but I want you to know that that's going to happen. So plan to be around on the 18th of September. And I'll tell you exactly where we're going and how we're going to do it and all those things when next Sunday, because I'll know by then. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. May God's blessing go with us. May God's love be part of this time. Thank you for Bailey and her profession of faith. We ask, O Lord, that you grant us a peace and a grace that's beyond all expectation, and let our lives be close and intimate with you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Didn't hurt too much, did it? Okay. You can go out with us. Let us
now depart in thy peace, blessed Jesus.
You want to let Mama come up here?
Send us to home with God's love in our hearts.
Oh, help us all.
Let not the busy world claim all our loyalties. Keep us safe.